from the Lord tonight, that God would give to his people. God wants to remind us of the contract that we signed with him. And this is the same contract he signed with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and handed down to us through Jesus Christ. And he wants us to remember our legal position with God, that there is a position that we have with God, and this position cannot be abrogated by our failures.
Hallelujah.
But that God will hold us to this position and will give us his side of the contract, regardless of anything that we can think of. Nothing is going to stop this contract from working.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Everything that we read in the Old Testament, it is something for us in Christ. It is saying something to us in Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament is nothing more than a picture of Christ. And if you can see your Old Testament as that, then the covenant of the Old Testament will become alive in Christ, in us today. In other words, we're looking at a word, the Word of God. He said that the covenant would have a writing, it would have blood, and it would have a spirit. He said to Moses, my spirit will go before you. And he said, that spirit will lead you and guide you through the wilderness. And he said, Moses sprinkled them with the blood of the covenant. And every one of those people were under the blood of the covenant. So that each person, you see, every contract must have a payment. Somebody must pay. The contract has no power unless something is paid. And as we were talking last night, what is value to God? Bring this cup full of gold, pure gold, and I mean it would make any one of us glad. You know, give you a dime on this side, and that would just send you into the third heaven. Just simple things like that. What is a diamond to God? Nothing but a stone. Hallelujah. What is gold to God? Nothing. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the place of God. You are in the spirit. You are a spiritual being. What can you do with gold? And so it is a relative value. Gold is valuable to us because all of us think alike. A diamond is valuable to us because everybody think alike. And you know, if you get a diamond this size, somebody is going to want it. And they'll want it so badly that they'll pay you $1,000,000 for it. Now that's value, as far as the world is concerned. But when God looks down upon this type of value, it is nothing but a bunch of trash. Amen. And so, but there must be something that is valuable to God as gold is valuable to us. What is that? Blood. Because the blood is the life. God said the blood is the life. And so when Jesus paid his blood to get that contract working, you see, the contract couldn't work. The contract couldn't work. Moses cursed, and God had to exclude him from entering the promised land. David sinned, fell down. And you watch the Bible, but it tells you of the goodness of man and everyone, how he fell. Praise be to God. Because the contract couldn't work, and Paul put it correctly, he said, because it was weak through the flesh.
Amen.
But a contract will not work unless you put money on it. You must have an offer, you must have an acceptance, and you must pay. Hallelujah. Then the contract is in force. And so Jesus paid. Because we couldn't pay. If we paid our blood, then we'll be true. Our life, we couldn't pay with our life. And that's the only thing that was valuable to God, was blood, was life. And so God took his son and made him pay for the contract so that our contract might work. Hallelujah. Now, how dare you say it's not working?
Yeah.
After Jesus paid in order that the contract might work, this covenant is good. This covenant is workable. And not only workable, but working.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it's working, and we must begin to believe in the power of the covenant that Jesus Christ has with us. We read verse 13. Chapter 16 of Samuel, 1 Samuel, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I want you to understand what we're reading about. Here was a contract signed. God signed the contract with David. Remember, before David, there was Adam. See, God told him to have dominion. Adam failed, but God's word remained. Hallelujah. Then came Noah, and God said, I will put my bow in the clouds. And he said, I will never again destroy human life from the earth as I have done.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear that promise, brethren? We were in Africa, and a pastor got up to come against me because I said, God is not going to destroy this world. He said, but the Bible says God's going to destroy the earth. I said, God says elements of the earth. You read the Bible properly and you'll see that elements, all the evil is going to be destroyed out of the earth. But God said he would never again destroy the earth. He came strong. A sister got up from the back bench and asked permission to read a scripture. Hallelujah. When she read the scripture, the pastor sat down and we never heard anything more from him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because you see, God gave the promise twice. The first time he said, I will never again destroy the earth for man's sake. No matter how wicked man is, I'm not going to destroy my earth again as I have done. And then afterwards he repeated the promise to Noah and said, look at the bow, I won't send a flood again. Anytime you see the rainbow, you know that I remember my promise to you. Don't be afraid. You know what was happening? Every time they heard the thunder, every time a cloud came over, everybody started trembling. God's going to drown us.
Amen.
You know, it was a terror, it was a fear upon them. And God put a rainbow so that every time the cloud came, the rainbow came, and they weren't frightened. But that didn't mean that he did not give a promise. You know, you see, the people who speak of the rapture, they said God is going to rapture us up into the sky and burn the earth. And I said to one of his brothers, I said, if God's going to rapture us, let me accept it, that God's going to rapture us up and he's going to burn the earth. He said, yes, he's going to kill the burn the earth and we're going to come down back upon a new earth. I said, and wait a bit. Aren't you the same person who preached to me that Jesus Christ is coming down to put his foot on Mount Olives, and that the mountain is going to split in two, and the people of Israel are going to say to him, where did you get those wounds? And he said, I got it in the house of a friend. I said, then if he burned the earth, would he spare, not burn the little section where Israel is? And I shut up, because there's an inconsistency in the preaching. Hallelujah. If your Bible seems to have an inconsistency, it means that your doctrine is wrong. Amen. You're taking a spiritual word for a natural word, and that will give you more inconsistency than you can count. God says here that Samuel took the horn of oil, and Brother Sanmore made us to understand that it was a 2-gallon horn. As 2 gallons of oil he poured over his head. And he said, let us pray for the 4-gallon anointing. Well, the 2-gallon anointing, he poured it on the head of this boy and anointed him. And beloved brethren, that's the symbol of the Holy Spirit anointing. In the Old Testament is oil, in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament it ran over his head, came down on his clothes, went right down to his feet. In the New Testament, it's inside of us, and it fills our whole being from head to foot.
Hallelujah.
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 It's not difficult to believe the Bible. God is anointing his people, anointing them from the inside out. And I don't believe in anybody's anointing that doesn't come through their skin. Do you understand that? A person who claims that he's anointed with the Spirit and he's so thin-skinned that the first thing come against him, he gets out of order. I don't believe in that anointing. I believe in the anointing of the Spirit that will come through the man and control him. Amen. Control him. Allow him to be able to be controlled by the Spirit of God even when he is upset.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's the time you know who has the anointing from who doesn't have the anointing. And one time I read a spy story, and this man been watching this man, and this man been pretending to be a German or something else. He was pretending to be something that he wasn't. And this man felt that there's only one way that he could prove if this man was what he was supposed to be, because this man was perfect in his disguise. And he crept up behind him. He was sitting quietly on a park bench. He crept up behind him, opened his hand and slapped him. Bow! The man cursed in German. He got him off his guard. Brethren, what is inside will come out.
Yes.
Unless the anointing of the Lord God is on top of that.
Amen.
So, David, tonight we want to talk about God's covenant with David. We have a covenant series going that God has been giving us words on the covenant every night. We took from Noah, we come to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, Moses' covenant. Now we are at the covenant with David. You know what we are discovering? That every covenant, as God came along, he added more. He strengthened it.
Hallelujah.
And who you think get the greatest? The people of the end times.
Yeah.
You are getting
Hallelujah.
The fullness of this covenant.
Amen.
Because you are getting what David got, you're getting what Noah got, you're getting what Abraham got, Isaac, pardon me, and Jacob. Pardon me. You're getting everything.
Hallelujah.
In Christ Jesus. But you know something I discovered? We don't believe it. My God, help us. We don't believe it. And I am here to remind you. You know, you ever had a contract and you never really went through the fine writing, and when trouble start coming, you said, let me read it. And you start reading your insurance policy.
Yeah.
Amen. Have an insurance policy and all of a sudden you get sick. And you found out that it didn't cover the sickness that you had. You see what I mean? And so let us look a little bit at this section of the policy. We're going to take the word that God gave Moses, David. 1 Samuel 13 and 14. Remember now, this boy is not yet king. God promised to bring us priests and kings, and David is not yet king. But in First Samuel 13 and 14, we're going to read 1 Samuel 13, 14. But now, he's speaking to Saul, but now thy kingdom, Saul's kingdom, shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. The man was out in the field looking after sheep. He had no idea that God was saying these words about him. But so it is that God is changing our hearts by Christ Jesus to make us be able to keep the covenant, because we can't keep it. We can't keep it. But the Spirit of God in us is going to make us to keep the covenant.
Hallelujah.
Because God is keeping his. 2 Samuel 7 and 13. And this promise in verse 14 is a promise that is repeated 30, 40 times in Scripture. There's no promise that has been repeated as many times as this promise. For every man, you read Moses, you read Abraham, you read Jacob, you read Isaac, every single one of them, God gave him the same promise. And you know what? Paul said that promise is now given to us. Let's read it. We start from the 13th verse to get the context. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. In other words, what God is talking about is an everlasting situation. How would you like for a house to have an everlasting door onto it, and the house is not everlasting? What would happen? At some time, the door alone would be left standing. So when God said he gives you an everlasting promise, what's the meaning of that? That he's making you everlasting.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. If God gives you an everlasting promise, that door is not going to stand alone. It's going to be the house everlasting, the door everlasting. Amen. So, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. This is the promise. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Let me tell you, brethren, every promise that God gave David belonged to us.
Hallelujah.
For David is Christ in type, right here. And turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 8, and let me show you this promise. And I can show it all over the Bible. Paul translated it and gave it more life in his translation. than it was in the Old Testament. Because, you know, many words in the Old Testament, you can misunderstand them. Because another language, a very strange language to our English, the expression is far different. Chapter 8, and you take that verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind. Hallelujah. Come on now. God's not working on the outside anymore. He's going to anoint your mind.
Amen.
Put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Oh, bless the Lord God. God is in the business of anointing man on the inside. Every one of us who believe God must know that we have a contract with him to anoint us on the inside.
Hallelujah.
Don't you understand?
Yes.
It's a contractual position. It's a position that we hold with God, that we need to go to God and say, God, remember your contract with me. I am your child by covenant. I am one of the covenant people. You see, there was no people on earth like the Hebrew people, because they were under contract with God. They were a covenant people. Amen. Solomon was praying, he said, my God, if these people transgress, if they disobey you, if they go against you, while they come to this house and they cry to you, you will hear from heaven and you will heal their land. Ah, glory to God. This is the contract that we have with God. This is the contract is not that you won't sin. The Bible says, if any man sin, amen, he had an advocate with the Father. The contract lawyer is there standing before the throne of God. And he's going to put in the plea for you according to the written contract. You know, I think you should get these tapes, brethren, because in the previous tapes we showed where the contract had a writing. It had a writing of the contract. And it had blood. In other words, there was a book of the contract. The book of the covenant. And you must realize that God's word, God's living logos, is written in a book. So when you read the Bible, you must think of what God was saying. Don't specially think about what each phrase is, and you're going to analyze the words. Look into the word, the spirit of the contract. Amen. Because the contract has a spirit. Amen. And when God says that you are mine, I bought you by contract, then you are his. And there's no way you can get away from it. Amen. Paul says, shall height, shall depth, shall princes of the devils, principalities, princes and their whole kingdoms. See, principalities, shall powers, shall things present. You know what is present here. This time is there no time as tough as this time. And it's hard on Christians, and it's going to get a little worse. Amen. He said, things present. Can anything from out of the past, or maybe something from the future? He said, no. There's nothing contrived in hell that can remove you from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You are his by contract. You are bound in the contract to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
God said that he made contract with the children of Israel through baptism in the cloud and in the sea and by the sprinkling of blood. Did you understand that? When Moses stretched out his rod over the Red Sea, over the Dead Sea, and it parted, the children of Israel begin to go, and there was water all over them, water on both sides. And God said that was a baptism. He said he made a contract with them right there, baptismal contract. I will follow you through death. Hallelujah. After the contract, they transgressed, and God killed them. That was part of the contract. God slew them in the wilderness, and they couldn't enter into the promised land because they would carry sin into the promised land. And so the contract was, I'll take you home. Your next stop will be to see Jesus. Oh yeah. God killed them in the wilderness, and Jesus went down into hell and saved them. Amen. Am I going too fast for you? But God makes a contract of life with you unto death. Hallelujah. If you will not hold the life that he gives you, then he promises to save you in spite of yourself. Because this is the contract. And this is the covenant that I made with the house of Israel. You turn back to write them in their mind and in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Remember, that's the same thing we just read. God speaks to David. But look here. Go back to the prophets. Go back to Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah, chapter 31 and 33. Yes. It means a rebellion. That's a slightly different thing. He said that the church would rebel against God. It's not a falling away, but the church rebel against God. The whole church system is in a down condition, a rebellion condition. You see, it is a civil war. In other words, there is a rebellion, a fight going on. The church is fighting against God.
Well, what happened to the contract of Moses?
Well, it was a contract made with them. You see, that's the point. You see, a lot of people believe they are saved and not saved. They never did make a contract with God. They were never serious. They never made a serious contract with God. Somebody tell them 1, 2, 3, say, I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior. Okay, you're all right, you're saved. But see, we are not in a position to judge that. We leave that to God. But what we are seeing is a falling religious system that has not known God. The religious system out there don't know God. When a man will march up to an altar and start repeat a prayer and things like that, he doesn't know God. He doesn't know anything about God. He's playing church. This is what I mean. That's what you see. They say they are the church, but it's a fallen system. So verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now, in the previous teachings, we taught that it's not all Israel that is Israel. It's not all the church that is church. It's only those who seriously love the Lord. And their hearts are seriously bound to Jesus. And make that with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, Paul saying in their minds, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be to me a people, my people. So the same promise that God been giving from the very beginning come right through. He has given it to David, and David, through David, we get it through Christ, even unto us. Now, he said he'll make a people an everlasting kingdom. And the Bible says that ye are the house of God. You are the city of God. Did you remember the Bible saying that? Oh yes, I just paraphrase it. Ye are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's not a little thing. That's not a little thing. You're under contract. You're under protection. You're under power. Whatever happens to you, it's not the enemy that's doing it to you. It's God. Amen. You just believe it. You know? It's God doing it to you. I have turned on God and said, Lord, why did you do this? Oh yeah. Because I recognize God, that this certain things can't happen to me unless it's God that does it. And if God does it, it's going to work out for my good. You hear me? Contract says all things work together for good to them that love God. Meaning to say, those who are under contract with God, everything works together for good. Baptism is the contract. It says, God, I will go with you the whole way. Do you know that most of us break the baptismal contract? The baptismal contract said, Jesus, I'll go with you in death. The first person slap you. You can't be part of some movement and you fighting for your rights and you're dead. A dead man doesn't fight for his rights.
Just going back a little bit to the statement you made concerning everything for the believer, at least the contract of believers coming from the hand of God.
Yes.
Just going back, and we can have you referred to as well in reference to Job, where although Satan was moving, God is sovereign.
Yes, yes.
That's what you're saying. Because it was Satan directly, but God indirectly was over the whole thing.
Yes, God was right there. In other words, I am under the protection of God. That's what we talk about, the covering. The covering.
Amen.
I am under the covering of God. And nothing can happen to me unless God allows it. And if God allows the devil to smite me, I say, praise God. Something great is going to happen.
Amen.
But you see, you have to have a lot of grace to be able to say, praise God. When you get hit. Hallelujah. You start hollering. The first reaction, you get hit, you start hollering. But I'm not saying that we are not human. But you know something? We don't have to be. Amen. You hear me. We are human. And it seems we're going to be human for a long time to come. But God expects us to be divine. And we can be divine through the power and the working of Almighty God. Amen. So many people suffered. Think of how the saints suffered. And they suffered patiently. Hallelujah. Looking for a kingdom that was higher and greater than the kingdom that they could see with their eyes. Praise be to God. They suffered, but they knew that they had a contract with God. You turn your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrew, and let me show you something there. That if we understand our position correctly with God, if we will hold our position with God, we will even reject the ease that we can get here. Many, the Bible said, rejected deliverance. Yes? In this 11th chapter, and in the 34, verse 34-35, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, walked valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Could be delivered, refused deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Most of us don't understand it, do you? You know what it's meant by a better resurrection? Those people wanted to be in the first fruits company. We have been boasting for a long time, we are the first fruits company. God going to prove it.
Hallelujah.
Oh yeah, it's been proven. Blows are hitting us from all quarters, and things are happening to us that's supposed to happen to first fruiters. Amen. The devil has heard us. He has gone to God. He has put in his application, and many of us are under pressure, because if you're a first fruit company man, a first fruit company boy, a first fruit company woman, you are going to have to stand where these women stood. He said the women refused to accept deliverance because they wanted a better resurrection. Oh, did you know that there is a good resurrection and there's a better one? Hallelujah. Think of it, brethren. There's a resurrection of the first fruits. And they are going to reign and rule with Christ right here in Champaign. And it's not long to come. Things are winding down, brethren. We are past the 40-year mark when Israel became a nation, when God anointed the world. All the ministries were anointed in 1948. It's good for you to read Sanmore's book, because he has the history of it. But in 1948, the ministries were anointed. In North Battleford, there was an anointing of the Spirit that was extraordinary. In Canada. And they, it spread all over the world, and they call it the Latter Rain movement. And at the same time, Israel became a nation. And the promises that God gave Israel, the reason I know that there is a natural Israel is because the promises that God gave Israel came to pass in our eyes. That God promised that he would send the charmers to charm them, and if they were not charmed, he would send the hunters to hunt them. And Hitler came and he did hunt them. And they formed a new state called Israel. 40 years, this year, 1988. Next month year, we begin the 50th. You know, going towards the 50th. In other words, 40 days for tribulation and 50 days for jubilee. Amen. I'm saying, brethren, the covenant that God made with David, part of the covenant had a jubilee in it. You remember the dancing? David brought the ark into Israel, and it was not a natural dancing that David was dancing. You hear me? Those men would dance with their armor and with their shield, and they would knock their their swords and their shield, and they would dance like this. But David wasn't dancing like this. David was leaping in the air. David was leaping and dancing. Oh yeah? And he exposed himself, but he never cared. Hallelujah. For he was in the spirit. Hallelujah. And David got the Ark of the Covenant, and he put it in a tent. And I mean, it's easier for me to tell you the story than read all these scriptures. He put the Ark of the Covenant in a tent. Now, brethren, you know that the Ark of the Covenant, you couldn't look at it or you died. That Uzzah touched it with his hand and bam, it killed him just that moment. This time, the Ark of the Covenant was in an open tent, and David appointed 1,000 singers and dancers, and they started to praise God. New covenant. New covenant, but the same covenant turned new. And that's the covenant of the Holy Spirit, which God is bringing us into, hallelujah, in Jesus Christ. And this covenant will break every yoke. It will break every barrier. It will bring of twain into one. Oh yeah. It will bring the people of God into one. And every man who serves God in Christ will be one with every man who serves God in Christ. There'll be no denominational barriers. Do you hear me? For God never made one denomination. And the denominations have divided the people of God. And God is calling his people together by the Spirit of God. Amen. Glory to God. And so under the Davidic covenant, we come into a reality that we had not known before. The reality of praise. Hallelujah. The reality of praise. Amen.
Amen.
When trouble comes, praise God. You hear me? There are things that praise does that are secret, in the secret place of the Most High, that is not known. Until you get into praise, you will not know the power of praise. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Amen! There's a seventh dimension in praise that we know nothing about. We have never got there. And it opened doors. You hear me? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That praise breaks barriers and open doors. There's a secret key to certain doors in God that are opened by praise. Hallelujah. And the angels, and when I talk about the angels, I'm talking about our brothers who died and are in heaven with God. I'm not making any bones about, I'm not apologizing, hallelujah, for believing truth. Amen. That the brothers and sisters who pass on and are with the Lord, they're in heavenly places, and God has them as angels. The stronger ones, God used them, and the weaker ones are just learning to be strong. Hallelujah. That these brethren are waiting for the secret to reach to human hearts and for the revelation of the Spirit of God to come to us, that we break through in praise into areas where they will be able to praise with us and to break through with us. Blessed be to God, amen. I'm not talking mysteries, I'm talking revelations as I receive them. Amen. I'm not talking from great knowledge that I know. I'm just talking of what I'm seeing. Praise God, as I speak to you, I see doors being opened. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. A scripture here, I won't even look it up, because if I do stop to look it up, it will just break what I'm seeing. The Bible said that David went to fight with the Philistines. And God said to him, this day I will fight for you. And he said, ye shall hold your peace. I find the scripture, you know, without looking for it. So let us then read it. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Hallelujah. We're talking about the covenant that we have with God. Amen. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're talking about the covenant that we have with God.
Amen.
Amen. In verse 17. Hallelujah. Why should you fear? Why should you doubt? Isn't your God the mighty God, the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace? Didn't he promise you that he would bring you into the land and that you would possess your possessions? Hallelujah. And the land is now within you. The possession of God is that you should possess the glories of God that is in your spirit. That you should possess the glories of God that is in your mind. That you should possess the secret things of God that are yet to be revealed in your emotions.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That you should possess God within you. This is the land that he has promised you. And since Israel has entered, I said Judah, you know, that's what was coming out. Since Judah has entered into the promises of God, in the natural, why wait? Why are the spiritual people waiting? We should claim these promises of God before God, in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
For he said, I'll send an angel before you, and he shall prepare the way before you.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God, verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in the battle. Brethren, stop fighting. You hear me? Lay down your arms and say, God, do what you will with me. I am your property.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. You know, I don't mean the others. You might have had to fight some time ago. You may have to fight some time in the future. But God is saying that this specific battle, when Satan has opened up his batteries against the church, hallelujah, he said, you don't need to fight. Stop fighting. Yet set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. My God, help us.
Hallelujah.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Could you walk in it? Could you believe it? Could you get up tomorrow morning and say, God is with me. I am not going to fight. The battle is yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Covenant. He's speaking to a covenant people. a people who are bound to God by covenant. You have no problem but to stand still. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. Come on now. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Praise be to God. The Spirit of God is with his covenant people in this battle. We are, before it is over, we are all going to be severely tested.
Amen.
And tried. And God is going to sometimes leave us, as it were, in the hand of the enemy. Don't follow what it looks like. He's very close to you when you feel that he has left you.
Hallelujah.
You hear me? And when you feel that God has left you, poor me, God's gone, left me, he's very close to you. One time David had the experience, and he said, why hidest thou thy face, O God? Hallelujah. He knew he was there, but he was hiding. Hallelujah. The little grandson came to me and said, Granddad, why is God hiding? Why don't he show himself? Amen. You know, some of us are like that little child, and we'd like to say to God, God, show yourself, let me see you. But God is never forgetting his covenant with us. The covenant of God, the contract that God has with us, he has promised us to go with us, to defend us, to deliver us. You know, when you think of David, he had the practical experience of God with him. He was in battle so often. And was never hurt, was never touched, was never hurt. And David, in the midst of the battle, he saw some things happen that only God could do it. One day in his old age, the men said to him, don't come into battle. You are not as strong as you used to be, and that's the worst thing you could tell an old man. You're not as strong as you used to be, and you can't stand the battle as you used to. And moreover, everybody will be aiming at you. And David said no, he was in the battle all the same. And the Bible said that David fainted. The heat and the burden and everything, the man fainted, fell on the ground. And Goliath's brother thought it was a very good opportunity to revenge his brother's death. Remember now, David killed Goliath from his young boy. Now he was an old man. And Goliath's brother, one of the giants, rushed down upon him and lifted up his spear to slay him. And Abishai, one of David's men, Joab's brother, was across the field and saw it. And God moved him so fast that he hit Goliath's brother, and the Bible said he split him in two with his armor and everything before he could bring down his hand.
Hallelujah.
That is one of the miracles of God. And David see that every day. He saw God doing these things for him. And so he believed God. Brethren, can we believe God? Would it help us a little more to believe God if we knew that we have a contract, a covenant with God? And God said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word cannot pass away. Said he'll keep you in all your ways. He'll keep you in all your ways. He knew you were going to not be so wonderful. It's sin. He knew it before, but he didn't promise you that. And he didn't promise you in ignorance. He promised you in knowledge.
Amen.
And if God promised you in knowledge, then you should accept it in faith.
Hallelujah.
Knowing that God knew what you were, what you would be, what you couldn't be, and what you would never be able to be. Hallelujah. 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 We are a people under covenant. And we must maintain a covenant relationship with God. Now, before I close, let me say that you cannot, as a covenant people, make a covenant with a non-covenant person. Come on now. Let's see if we get that right. The law of covenant is that you cannot take the covenant and give it to a person who is a non-covenant person, a stranger. Amen. But that God automatically establishes the covenant between us who are also covenant with him. So everybody who is covenanted to Jesus, contract, under contract to Jesus, is under contract with one another. Amen. Glory to God, amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God, amen. And that's why we break the bread. And that's why we pass the wine. Remember the contract. This is my body. He didn't say this is the body hanging on the tree. That body is not hanging on any tree now. He's sitting on the right hand of God. But what is very important to him now is this body. This people. This is my body. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, when we do despite to the blood, it's a horrible thing. Because the body might be you, the individual, but the blood is the energy that is going between us, even as we sit and feast in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Do you see it? And so when we do despite against the blood, it's when we go against that life flow which is going through the body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you understand? Well, somebody sat here, heard the word of God, accepted it while you were sitting here. But when you got up and you went outside, somebody said to you, oh, that man does still preach false doctrine. And you begin to doubt. You have done despite to the Spirit of God that works in the body of Christ. For some things happen in the body that can't happen out there. You understand? There's an energy, a movement of God when two or three are gathered together in his name that is not out there. And this is why he said you must gather with people like yourself. You can't go gather with the Baptists over there, I tell you the truth. You cannot go with the Methodists over there. because they are not talking the same language in the spirit that we are talking here.
Amen.
And if you are used to this kind of a spiritual sharing, because you're sharing, you know, you're sharing, the energy and the life out of you is going to others and it's coming here and there, and we don't see, but it's moving. There's a movement of the spirit in our midst.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you're sharing, and to cheer up somebody who, hallelujah, was down, just to come in the midst, the person will be cheered. So therefore there's a sharing, and if you go against that, then you do despite to the body. Next time you come back, you won't get anything. You come in dry and you go dry. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Tomorrow, God's willing, we will come again and talk about the covenant with Christ in blood. Amen. Covenant in blood. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise be to God. Paul said, for this cause, many are weak and sick among you. Many sleep.
That we be able to invoke our contact with God. Mm-hmm. And it seems that very hard things come against us. Mm-hmm. But that God has enabled us, and He's speaking a word to us tonight. You know, sometimes when we're being chastened and chastised, we feel that God is so far removed from our circumstance. He doesn't know the thing that we're going through. But yet God is encouraging us, because there's a point that a father will chastise a son more than a neighbor, more than another, because of his desire to see the son fulfill the purpose that he knows that the son has. You see, and so sometimes the son feels that the father is so much harder upon him, but that's because there's there's blood between them. Hallelujah. There's something that ties them together that does not tie him to a neighbor. There's a purpose, there's a desire, and there's a fulfillment in these things. And God has brought to mind the covenant, that we possess the covenant of Abraham, that belongs to us. It's one thing to say it. It's a whole other ballgame to believe it. And we must begin to believe God, because the time is coming when if we do not believe God, we can very well lose our life. We must begin to hear God and believe what He has spoken. He's spoken many things concerning you, concerning us as a body. We have to begin to believe God. That's the impetus. Brethren, do you think that Joshua and Caleb saw a land any different? They all walked through the same land. They saw the same things. They saw the same figs. They saw the same grapes that the men had to pack on a stick between them. They were so big. And what was the difference? They believed God. They believed God going in, that God had made a promise and that He was going to stand on that promise. Amen. And He didn't care how big those men were. Yes. He said that, well, the ten said, oh, we're grasshoppers in their sight. Mm-hmm. And the man tore his clothes. He knew right then that he had broken the word. He said, if God has made us able, then we're well able to possess the land. Praise be to God. We've got to begin to look, and it's as if a man has been in agreement that he is not completely aware of all of the things that are written in. And you're downcast. Oh, I don't have anything. And then the man begins to read. Oh, there's a provision in this contract. Look at here, and he begins to read. And then you say, amen, and you begin to get excited. And you begin to understand that there is a provision made. Listen, if you think that you're entered into a contract with another person, and you think that he's going to give you $500 down and $100 a month, and you take it to your lawyer, and you think that you've been shortchanged, the lawyer says, no, that's not so. He's going to give you $10,000 down and $100,000 a month. You see, and then you begin to say, hallelujah. You understand? That's what God's saying to us tonight. It's much more than what we've anticipated. It's much more than what we've seen. He said, I have not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men. That thing that God has for them that love Him. Amen. For them that have made a covenant with Him. Hallelujah. It's not on our strength that we're going to stand. No. It's not on our tenacity, our bulldogness that we're just holding on. It's because He's made a covenant and His Word is true forever. Yes. So praise be to God. Examine your covenant. Yes. Press God out. Ask Him. Come before Him like Brother Seth said. I am a covenant person. What's going on? How come I'm still the way I am when you promised me that something was going to happen? You was going to break, hallelujah, that bondage from off my neck. Why have I walked this way? Lord God, I know You're true to Your covenant. Open my eyes that I can see, and my ears that I can hear, and my heart that I can love with the heart of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God.